Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, chapter 13, entitled The Behavior of a Perfect Person, text 46. Srinada Vacha
Srinada Vacha
Dharmam Paramam Shambhai
Dharmam Paramam Shambhai
Muneshutva Sureshvara
Muneshutva Sureshvara
Pujajitva Tata Prita
Pujajitva Tata Prita
Amantra Vraya Yogyam
Amantra Vraya Yogyam.
Translation. Narada Muni continued, after Prahlada Maharaj, the king of the demons, heard these instructions from the saint, he understood the occupational duties of a perfect person, Paramahansa. Thus he duly worshipped the saint, took his permission, and then left for his own home. Purport. As quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya 8.128, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Kipra vipra nyasi sudra kenanai, ye krishna tatraveta se guruhai. A guru or spiritual master can be anyone who is well conversant with the science of Krishna. Therefore, although Prahlada Maharaj was a grihastha, ruling over the demons, he was a paramahansa, the best of human beings, and thus he is our guru. In the list of gurus or authorities, Prahlada Maharaj's name is therefore mentioned. Swayambhu Narada Shambhu Kumaru Kapilu Mahalu Praladu Janako Bhismu Balir Vyasa Kipayam Bhagavatam 6.320. The conclusion is that a Paramahansa is an exalted devotee, Bhagavad Priya. Such a Paramahansa may be in any stage of life, Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, or Sannyasi, and be equally liberated and exalted. Thus, enter Bhaktivedanta purpose of the 7th canto, 13th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled The Behavior of a Perfect Person. Om Gyanapirandasya Jnana Sakya Sakshurabhitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Navistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dharati Swapadantikam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasari Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. The Paramahansas, or the perfect persons, are not controlled by the three modes of material nature. Mostly, the three modes of material nature create so many circumstances that affect the mind and the senses. Manasastranindiyani prakriti stani karsati. That we are struggling with the six senses, including the mind, and in our strife for material existence. And that is the situation. So, generally speaking, once we are embodied, we just are constantly preoccupied with these five senses and the mind. And the whole day long, they are coming up with different things all the time. Sometimes good, sometimes bad, sometimes in the form of different types of attractive things, other times unpleasant things that we have to deal with or try to avoid. Like that, we spend our whole day, it is said, in hankering and lamenting. And that is material existence. So, Paramahansas are those who are not affected by these things. That they allow these things to take over their consciousness. Of course, they are also affected by time. A Everyone is affected by time, by the influence of time. So, Paramahansas are also facing old age. And as a result, the bodily part of their existence also has to go through the limitations of the material energy. But it does not in any way distract them from their focus on Krishna. And that is what we are seeing. I have been writing an essay on Haridasa Thakur for a book that we will be publishing on our visit to Bangladesh. Haridasa Thakur. The place Bainapol is there where the prostitute came to meet Haridasa Thakur in the dead of night. And, this morning I was shortly finishing off the article and was writing about his final pastimes and how Govinda, the personal servant of Haridasa Thakur, would come to meet him every day in the Siddhabako garden where Haridasa resided at a little distance from the temple because he didn't feel himself qualified to go near the temple. Not only was Haridasa forbidden by the Pandavas to enter the temple, but he was always thinking of himself, I am so fallen, I cannot enter this temple. And Haridasa then was there daily chanting so many names. And one in Govinda would come every day and bring some Mahaprasadam. So one day Govinda came and he found Haridasa lying on his back, chanting very slowly. So Govinda said, I brought some Mahaprasadam. Haridasa said, no, I'm fasting today because I haven't finished my rounds. But then again, how can I fast when you're bringing Mahaprasadam? I have to honor that Mahaprasadam. So he offered his obeisances to the Mahaprasadam and took a little bit and then continued with his chanting. So Govinda reported back to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that something is wrong with Haridasa. He's not okay, he's lying there, he's chanting really slowly. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came the next day and said, Haridasa, what is wrong with you? Can you tell me what is your disease? And Haridasa replied, my disease is that I cannot finish my rounds. I guess that's a classic, you know. But it really is a classic, if you think about it. This morning, okay, we hear the story many times, my disease is that I cannot finish my rounds. Oh, how amazing is Haridasa Thakur. But really think about it. I was thinking about it, and I was thinking, we are recommended to chant a fixed number of rounds. One should not just chant according to one's moods. One day, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, another day, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Now, one should not chant according to his moods, one should fix the number of rounds. yes, Prabhupada told us to fix 16 rounds, and if you want to fix 16 rounds in your life, you have to change something in your life. You have to make space for this chanting, to protect it, give it priority, and readjust one's whole life for these 16 rounds. It really is the case. And there are times when it's going to be difficult, there are times when it's easy, like that. And of course, with 16 rounds, there is still ample of space. Today is Monday, and Monday is my day of the week where I crash. Just like today, Monday. So today is Monday. So Mondays, I sometimes struggle with my rounds because the fatigue of the whole week is catching up on Monday.
It's the one day that the body says, I want some space. And then we say, no, no space, 16 rounds. Fixed. All right, that's okay. But then we know with 16 rounds that there is some space later on for the rest. So in that way, 16 rounds still allow some additional space for the bodily platform, but not 300,000 names like Haridas Thakur, just no space, no space at all. So fatigue was just such a thing, oh well, you know, there may be fatigue or no fatigue, I have nothing to do with it, or it has nothing to do with my rounds. That's Haridas is consciousness. Whatever may happen, it has nothing to do with my rounds disease. But then it came to the point in his old age where he just physically just really couldn't, and lying on his back chain very slowly. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Haridas, he said, like, well, Haridas, now you're old, you don't have to chant so many names anymore. But Haridas, that idea he couldn't entertain, you know. I mean, I cannot, like, just minimize my rounds. That I don't desire. No. So then he desired to just leave this world to finish, you know. I mean, if I have to live at a lower number of rounds, no, then I don't want to live. So just so fixed, so incredibly fixed. And maybe just think about that. That's just incredible. And yeah, that is the source of, well, that is Paramahansa. That is really Paramahansa Thakur. Fixed, so fixed. Putting service to Krishna just before other things. And the other things, well, you know, whether they're there or not, you know, let it be. Yeah, but the service goes on. Bhavananda used to, he was a movie maker before, so he used to speak in that kind of language. And when it came to devotional service, he used to say, the show must go on. Because, you know, that's Hollywood. There's no biz like showbiz, and no matter what, right, the show goes on. Right? So he always told us, he said, the show goes on. He said, when you're sick, you know, somehow or other, you have to do your service, right? But when you are too sick to do your service, then you have to crawl from your bed, right? You crawl from your bed and you just go to someone and tell them, you know, please tell them I really can't do my service. And then you can crawl back in bed. So, but there is truth in that spirit. Fixed means, yes, one is responsible, one is just, and that is the Vaishnavas, the Paramahansa Vaishnavas. So, Prahlad Maharaj, of course, is very much such a personality. Pranadu, Janaku, Bismo, Balir, Vyasakivayam. So this is talking about the Mahajans, the 12 Mahajans, and that one. And these Mahajans, they gave just such an example. Prahlad was just fearless. Fear is a big thing in the material world, right? Animals, they are in fear, human beings are in fear, even plants are in fear. Probably speaking, the tests were done like with sensors and so on, and where one could measure the feelings of the plants by electrodes, and when a fire was held like close to the plant, there was acute anxiety. So plants also have feelings. Yeah. So it's something to consider while we're sitting on the lawn and just pull out a blade of grass. Yeah. It's like interesting. Anyway, so a Paramahansa is fixed in service, and therefore a Paramahansa also becomes fixed in vision. Vijja vinaya sampane brahmanika vihastini suricharita swapa cha pandita samadarshinava. One must see with equal vision. One must see with equal vision all living beings, whether they are dogs, dog eaters, or brahmanas, or cows, or whatever. A Vaishnava sees all these living beings as equal. So that spiritual vision also one must develop and become very much removed from the material circumstances. Feeling always protected in that relationship with Krishna. Vayam dvitiya abhinivesita syat. When we are separated from Krishna, then there's fear. Because then we have to deal with so many circumstances, and some of them are overpowering. And one really can't deal with it. And what to do. But taking shelter of Krishna, we cannot deal, but Krishna can deal, and Krishna will protect his devotee. And that doesn't mean that we are not having any common sense. There are obviously things that are beyond our capacity. Like I wouldn't try to climb Mount Everest, even Table Mountain, let it go, you know. I used to, when I would see a mountain and have a desire to climb it. Now I don't have any desire to climb it. Not at all. Not even to go by cable car, to tell you the truth. Several times they tried to take me to the top of Table Mountain, and it wasn't possible. There was, you know, I saw a line wait of people waiting that was longer than the height of cable. So I said, forget it, you know, I'm not gonna, and wait forever to just like get in this cable car and stand for hours in the queue, go away. And it's all right, you know. I flew past many times, so I already know what the view is like. You know? I know what it looks like from the sky. So, what shall we say? We need not get so excited about the material energy. Oh, but there are, you know, so many amazing things to see. Krishna is the amazing thing to see, really, you know, like, oh, but a big waterfall, you know, like a huge waterfall. All right, you know, it's a lot of, well, it's a lot of water. Yeah, imagine, you know, we make it all the way to the waterfall, like big journey, like Victoria Falls or something, you know, stand there and people are like, oh, boy, that's a lot of water, isn't it? Yeah, it's really a lot of water. Okay, and everyone says, yeah, yeah, wow, so much water, and it's all just falling down. Then after a while, well, you know, what more is there to say? You know, it's like, sheesh, you know, look at that water. It's just falling down. Then, you know, ultimately a devotee comes to the point and say, like, wow, it's just this amazing. Krishna's energy is so amazing because it's never exhausted. And it just goes on and on. I mean, all this energy, the sun is just shining and shining and shining, doesn't cool down, the water just falls over the waterfall, and, you know, and so on. It's just like never ending, the world, and and the fool on the hill sees the world spinning round and things like this. That's what's going on. It's just continuing. So a devotee looks at Krishna. The other day we were speaking about the early days, matchless gifts, and Prabhupada was friends with this Dr. Mishra from before in his country ashram. And then he took the early New York devotees to that ashram for a night. And they were staying out there, and it was really like, for a New Yorker, you know, far out, you know. We were like, Hayagriva was sleeping outside, under the sky, and seeing the stars. Amazed, like in New York, you don't see sky, you don't see stars, you just see buildings and like high rise. And then he just somehow or other in the morning woke up and he saw how the sun was rising. And he started to get poetic. And he said, as if the painter from his palette painted red streaks in the sky. Yeah. And it's like the amazing beauty that he was describing to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, yes, yes. Well, we are not so concerned with the beauty of the creation. We are more concerned with the beauty of the Creator. So yes, that's a fact, the devotee, because the devotee is ultimately seeing behind everything that there's amazing Krishna, that this is all just a manifestation of Krishna's amazing energy, intelligence, Krishna's amazing plan. Like that, ultimately, we appreciate Krishna is more beautiful than his creation. And that is what you learn from the scriptures. Right? When Krishna puts jewels on his body, the jewels get more beautiful. You know, usually it's the other way around, you know what I mean? But in the case of Krishna, the jewels get more beautiful. So, devotee, therefore, is interested in Krishna. In Jiva Goswami is writing in the Gopal Champu about Krishna's pastimes, and sometimes some details are a little different or a little extra. So he's writing about that aboriginal lady who had a basket with fruits. And Krishna came as a small child, and he had seen how people were bartering and how they just would go from the house, bring some grains, give some grains to this lady, and then she would give some fruits that she would pick from the forest. So Krishna wanted some fruits, and he came with some grain, but because he was very small, he dropped all the grains from his little hands, right, as he was on the way. So by the time that he came there, you know, he had dropped all the grains. But the old lady, she didn't mind at all. She just gave him, like, so much fruits, and she saw him like that. She just piled him up, you know, like with arms full of fruits, and Krishna was very happy walking away with all the fruits. Then the old lady, she saw that her basket had filled up with jewels. And that's where the story in the Krishna book ends. But then Jiva Goswami continues, and he said, yes, and then that old lady, she had all the jewels. And then, you know, she was just walking away with these jewels. She hadn't even noticed it, you know. But after a while, she looked in her basket, and she saw that the basket was filled with jewels. And then, you know, what did she do with them? Well, she went back into the forest, which was her home. And there, she decided just to throw out these jewels. She just threw them out of the basket and filled the basket back with fruits because she wanted to again see that smile of Krishna when he was getting all those fruits. So she gave him more fruit and going back. That was more valuable than the jewels. So she became a pure devotee who became more attached to Krishna than the material world. That is the simple nature of the Paramahansa. Paramahansa is more attached to Krishna than to the material world, and therefore the Paramahansa can say, anyway, you know, forget it, material world, jewels are right, but Krishna's smile, so much better. That's priceless. Yeah, that's priceless. Yeah, so very nice. And yes, when we hear about Paramahansas, they indeed sound like perfect persons. Perfect persons. Paramahansas are always merciful, always kind, always eager to give mercy to living beings. And that makes them also, that makes whatever they do nice. Prabhupada was in Madras, and there was this Pandal program, and Prabhupada gave a lecture about Krishna consciousness. And then at the end there was a foreign boy from Sweden who said, oh yes, this bhakti is so wonderful because the whole world will become peaceful and there will be no more anger. And Prabhupada said, what's wrong with anger? Nothing wrong with anger. Anger, there is room for anger. Of course there is room for anger. Krishna became very angry when Hiranyakasipu was trying to, assault this little child. And then he became extremely angry and appeared like half man, half lion, with thunderbolt nails and teeth. Vajranaga, Vajradanta. Yes. So, and we would also become angry. Eh? I would also become extremely angry if I'd see like some adult, you know, trying to like beat up a child. You become like, or even worse, you know, raise a sword. You know, right? We would also like, grab a brick or something. Okay. Here, take this. Crunch all your teeth, right? To start off with. So, that is... And we see this in the Supreme Lord. Like, talking about crunching teeth brings back memories of the time when Balaram was challenged for this chess match. Right? And there was this king of Kalinga who was all the time standing there as a sort of witnessing, watching the match. And all the time when Balaram was supposedly losing, that king was also smiling. And then later on, Balaram just took his club and knocked out his teeth. And Balaram enjoyed that point very much. And with Balaram, the devotee is also smiling. Right? Yes, so we are not impersonalist, and then we come to the spiritual platform, and then there's only love and only peace. And then there's only one feeling, one emotion, love and peace. True spiritual emotions are not only lovey-dovey, it is also you rascal. You rascal. I mean, we know that one of Prabhupada's favorite words was rascal. These rascals, something that... Prabhupada liked to say. In fact, I didn't even know the word rascal, before I started reading Prabhupada's books. I learned it from Prabhupada. It may even be a little bit of an outdated word, rascal, but in this kind, it's sort of an endearing word, right? Rascal. All those rascals out there. Yes, Prabhupada was ready to call when people did are doing all kinds of things. Prabhupada would call them rascals. Rascals. The whole world is doing, is engaging in all kinds of abominable activity. And now in a modern way of thinking, we start to more and more think of people like victims. Yeah. It's a victim, what can you do about it? You know, it's like just a victim of the circumstances. And it's like proper rascal. Because it makes people responsible. And no, rascal. Rascal means you are responsible. You know what you're doing. And we know what we do. We know we're not supposed to do it. We know it's wrong. Rascal. Still doing it. Rascal. Like that. So, yes. So the Paramahansa platform means to take responsibility, to rearrange one's life. Oh, so much work. Rascal. Lazy rascal. Yes, too lazy to rearrange your life. Rascal. It's not like, well, it's so difficult, you know. I mean, it takes so much energy. I mean, we're trying. No. Rascal. Trying is not good enough. You must do it. Yeah, I'm trying. Trying means you're not doing it. I'm trying. Yeah. Listen carefully. I'm trying means basically I'm not doing it. That's what it means. That means rascal. That means laziness. So like that, Prabhupada had this kind of refreshing spirit of being rebellious and to fight, you know, a fighting spirit, not just being defeated. Oh, it's so difficult. Oh. We make it even more difficult than it is, so that we don't have to do anything about it. And everyone else will say, well, that's very reasonable, right? And very reasonable what you said there. Yes, no, you presented many points and we understand it's indeed very, very difficult because everyone in the back of his mind is thinking, tomorrow is my turn, you know. It's so difficult, and then everyone else will say, yes, yes, no, that's very reasonable what you say. So this is a pact the rascals have with each other, called the Rascal Pact, where we are simply reconfirming each other. Oh yes, no, no, of course, definitely, no, you can't do that, push too hard, you might just... you might get sick, you might do damage, no, careful. And meanwhile, we're not going anywhere. This is the same argument that Krishna used to Vrikasura. Vrikasura was this big, big demon who had performed great austerities and to get a benediction from Shiva, and he just wasn't going anywhere. Then he started to offer his flesh in the fire and still was not getting the mercy of Shiva. Then he decided that he would offer his head in the fire. So he was standing like there with his head over the fire and the sword in his hand and ready to offer his head to Shiva. And Shiva appeared to him, no, stop. This is not required. Okay, what do you want? All right, I want the benediction that whomever I touch on the head, that his head will split into 1,000 pieces. Which, you know, is a somewhat intense benediction. It's like, you know, what a thing to meditate on. And all the time meditate on something like that. So anyway, then he wanted to test it, and he decided to test it on Lord Shiva, who then started running like anything, and Vikasura was running after him. Then Lord Vishnu disguised himself like a brahmachari, and a simple brahmachari, you know, and he stood there by the road and said to Vikasura, why are you running so much? Vikasura thinking, yeah, why am I running so much? Then the brahmachari said, well, the body is very valuable and we must care for it, otherwise, you know, we'll damage it and then we will not be able to enjoy. Vikasura said, good logic. He stopped for a moment. Okay, explain me more about that. Yes, and then the brahmachari is saying, yes, they need the body for enjoyment. Yes, very intelligent young man. And then the brahmachari asked him, why are you running anyway? Oh, and Shiva gave me this benediction that I can touch, you know, whoever had, and it will burst in 1,000 pieces, and I'm trying to test it out on the head of Shiva. Said, ah, Shiva. Everybody knows that Shiva's reputation, you know, he's very much afflicted by the mode of ignorance associated with all these lower beings. You can't trust him. You know a man by his company. Okay. That's true. That's very true. Yeah, I don't think that Shiva gave you his benediction. Why don't you test it on someone else's head? Like, why don't you test it on your own head? Makes sense. But we see that the rascal Vikasura was also going for all these materialistic arguments. And we go for the same arguments. That is the whole society has accepted these arguments. And therefore we're all like being even educated by that. The rascal mothers are educating their little rascal children and are just trying to bring them up so that they become good and solid rascals. Yes. That's the whole idea. Right? Yes. So that they are well behaved, right, and reconfirm all the compromises of their parents. Yes. You too play the game along with us and just say that whatever we are doing is good. Yes. And if you're not, then you are ungrateful. Then you are ungrateful, don't you? Your parents did so much for you, and you are an ungrateful wretch. That's not caring for your parents. So, and they don't like it when we turn to Krishna. And then we say, no, only Krishna is important. Then in some cases, they get so upset, like Satsarupa Maharaj describes how his parents were very upset. And he was speaking to them on the phone with his father. And his father finally told him, he said, look son, you know, either you give up that Swami or you don't have to come back home anymore. And then Steve said to his father, well, Dad, I guess I'm not coming back home anymore. And that was it. He never went back home. And that's, he broke over that. I mean, his father just put it on the line. It's like, you know, it's the choice. You'll have to make the choice now. And then he did make the choice for Prabhupada. And you know, we can, and that's the saving grace. And we can see that that was a very big choice. And that gave him that incredible focus on Prabhupada. And it stayed with him throughout. Mm. And, you know, so some choices have to be made. And the choices have consequences. And give us strength to make further choices. And in this way, one progresses in spiritual life. And each choice, each commitment that we make gives us the strength to make further commitment. And then the strength to make further commitment. And then the strength to make still greater commitment. And that's the only way it can be done. Therefore, we must start to make commitments in spiritual life. People that are hesitating about making commitments, they don't progress very much, basically. They just, they're around, and they get mercy. And they keep on coming, and undoubtedly they get mercy. But they go really slow. And the commitment, it has to be made. One can see they stay behind after a while. Yeah. Then we see people that came much later. Yeah. They came years later, and they overtake them. Yeah. And then we see this again and again, because they start making commitments. So that we must do. We should make a commitment. And then another commitment to follow. And then another one. It never stops, ever. And that is the Paramahansa. So a Paramahansa is a person whose life is just a bundle of many commitments to Krishna. His whole life is just filled with commitments. And he keeps these commitments. And that is how one becomes a Paramahansa. It's not like, you know, something like... It's just amazing. It's just totally amazing that there are some people who become Paramahansas. How do they do it? I don't know. It's just a miracle. No, it's not. It's completely simple. It's about making commitments in devotional service. Yeah, and that, and of course, Prabhupada wrote about that. His books are like that. His books are about pure devotional service and about making a commitment to that. And it's just again and again one hears that, and eventually some people go for it. So saying, well, you know, I should try for this. So it's a movement with amazing ideals. The ideals to become a pure devotee. Huh? Who outside these walls cares for being a pure devotee? Yeah, some, a few, you know. But not many. Take a look at you, huh? What? I want to be pure devotee, or what? You know? pure devotee. And, you know, pure chocolate, or, you know, pure gin, or like, you know, pure love, something, you know. Yeah. Pure gold. Yeah? Now you're talking. Yeah? But pure devotee.
What's that?
They can't even relate. But that is a fact, because that is the greatest secret. Raja Vijan Raja Guyam Pavitam Idam Uttamam Pratyakshavanam Dharmam Susukam Kratamaviyam. It is the greatest secret people don't know. They don't know this transcendental knowledge. They don't know that pure devotional service is the supreme activity. And It's hidden. It is hidden from them. And it remains hidden because Krishna hides himself. Now, the Gaza service and Yogana is hard. It's Krishna who hides himself. So, Krishna reveals everything from within the heart, and Krishna gives us remembrance and forgetfulness. I guess I heard it from Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj the other day, because that's about the only lecture I heard from anyone else recently. Who was speaking on this theme, and who was bringing up the point that when the atheist is coming up, but he's looking for arguments to prove that God doesn't exist. And he's just trying to find the arguments. And, you know, it's difficult. It's a difficult thing. And you don't just, you know... Coming up with arguments is not so simple, you know. You have to think, you know, yesterday was in the hot spot trying to come up with arguments, you know, I had to rack my brain, right, to come up with some arguments. So that's how it is, you know. You don't just, hear all the arguments and think about it. So, the atheist is thinking and trying to come up with arguments to deny the existence of God. And then, again, you know, like suddenly, bang, you know, idea, now that's a good one. That's a great argument, and God doesn't exist. Right? But, where did he get the argument from? And it suddenly popped up in his brain. Who gave it to him? Krishna. So Krishna gave him the argument to help him forget Krishna. That's what it is. Yes. So if we want to forget Krishna, Krishna will help us. So the whole world's covered over. They long ago wanted to forget God. You know, we don't need him anymore. We used to. But nowadays we don't need him anymore because, you know, we have our machines, technology, and, you know, you don't need to pray anymore. Yeah. You used to, when people were helpless in the forces of nature. Now we laugh. You know, we laugh. Oh, look at the wind, you know, like here the cave, rain anyway. You know, turn up the speed of the window wipers. Keep on driving. It doesn't really affect our life so much anymore. Previously, you know, if you live very simple, yeah, then when the roof is shaking in the wind, you know, and you go, everybody on their knees, you know, oh Lord, Lord, please let the roof stay on the house. Yes, then you pray. And so, with all our modern machines and so on, we don't pray anymore. You know, people used to pray for rain, you know, now you turn on the pump, right? Yeah, just turn on the pump and start the irrigation, you know. Praying for rain. It's ridiculous, you know. If it's really bad, we see the clouds, you know what I mean? We go up with a plane and just throw all these chemicals into the clouds, seed them, and they'll rain. No problem. We can make rain. Easy. I heard when this Chernobyl explosion happened, there was this huge radioactive cloud, and then it was going towards Moscow from that side. And then the Russian army, they came with planes, and they seeded those clouds, and the rain came down long before it reached Moscow. So such things are going on. So what do we need God for? We can take care of ourselves. says the demon. But that is illusion. That is illusion. We understand. Because how long does it last? How long does it last? 6 minutes. So, any devotee can see through that and can see, no, we depend on Krishna. Very much so. Very much so. Without Krishna, we cannot be successful. But with Krishna, tata sir vijayo budhir. With Krishna, there will be good fortune and there will be victory. Without any doubt. That is Krishna, the Supreme Lord. Like Arjuna, who won the battle of Kurukshetra, although he was not the most powerful warrior, but he won. He was powerful, undoubtedly. But still, others were more powerful, but he defeated them with the help of Krishna. So we also can certainly have to use our own ability, but with the help of Krishna, and with the help of Krishna only, can one be successful in life and attain perfect happiness. And that is Paramahansa. Questions, comments?
I was wondering if you could maybe mention about Krishna helps the soul forget him. If he wants, the Buddhist soul wants to forget him, and Krishna helps him also with that. So could you speak a bit about like when a devotee leaves Krishna consciousness and tries to forget Krishna, then what happens? And
Well, I have a story. And the story was a friend of mine who joined in India. And before, Krishna consciousness was a bit of a hippie in India, and then joined our temple in India. So one day he came and he wanted to leave, and he was really determined to leave the temple. So he left the temple, and he basically said that he, usually when devotees say that, that they want to leave the temple, sometimes they tell you, right? Then you argue with them, they say they want to enjoy again, right? So this one, he left the temple because he wanted to enjoy. But then he was trying, he was out, but he couldn't. He couldn't really, because he had this philosophical vision, that it was not really that meaningful, that it was all temporary and so on. So every time that he tried to just enjoy something, his mind is just echoing, it's all temporary. And so one day he was going to Krishna, speaking to Krishna, saying, Krishna, it's not fair, it's not fair. Now, our friend was on the tall side, and he was an Indian. And in India, when you're tall, that's quite dangerous, because there's always the ceiling fan. Right? So one day, somehow or other, he forgot for a moment, and he stuck his head in the spinning fan. And, he got a few good whacks, and after having seen the universal form and planets and so on, he came back to sort of external consciousness, and then he suffered from some form of amnesia. Suddenly, he was no longer having this problem that each time that he wanted to enjoy, after he recovered, each time that he wanted to enjoy, that always this remembrance came. It's all temporary. It's all... And for a while it was going well. He was again, enjoying his senses like other people. And then one day he was in South India, and somehow or other he came to the Krishna River of all rivers, and he sat down on a hill to smoke a little whatever. One of the things people smoke. And as he was about to do that, he saw this monkey go down from the mountain to the river, and the monkey
offered his obeisances to the river, took the water of the river three times
on his head, and then took bath in the river. And he said, haha, this is not a monkey. This is a devotee. And he engaged in all kinds of nonsense, and he became a monkey in his next life. And the same is going to happen to me. Oh my God. And it was all back. Just like that. Completely back. It's all this sense enjoyment is only temporary. And all the whole whack on his head didn't work at all. And it was just temporarily covered him over. Yeah. And again, he took off spiritual life. Yeah. So it's like that Krishna doesn't let us go so easily. Because a materialist is under the influence of the modes of material nature and under the influence of karma. But a devotee is always under the direct control of Krishna. Because he has purchased Krishna. So Krishna is not going to let us go so easy. But he may teach us a little lesson. Yeah. Oh, you want to forget me? All right, forget me. But then, yeah. So yeah, Krishna is there with his devotees. I also had the other story about this devotee who really wanted to give up Krishna consciousness and who wrote a book, you know, like saying, God, a blue boy. And I met him on the street, you know, after years he wrote this book. And I told him, I said, just see, you know. He said, you can't forget Krishna. You still had to write a book about him. Yeah, it's like that. Any other questions?
When you're speaking about perfect presence, so I was thinking about my Yudhisthira. During the Battle of Kurukshetra, when they wanted to defeat Dharacharya, then Dharacharya asked Mahārāja Yudhisthira if his son was really dead. So at that time, Bhima killed an elephant named Ashwatthama. So then Mahārāja Yudhisthira announced that Ashwatthama was dead. And they said in the book that at that time his chariot fell to the ground. And there were two reasons given. One was that it's because he lied. And the other reason was that he didn't follow Krishna's instruction initially.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the book, when...
Which book was that?
Krishna Dharma was
written. Krishna Dharma, yeah.
When he was going back to spiritual world, he temporarily experienced hell.
Yeah.
And then it said again it was because he lied. So I was thinking, it doesn't quite reconcile anything.
It's not exactly what Srila Prabhupada told us, I mean, from what I understand. What Srila Prabhupada told us is that the lying part was not at all, was not the reason. He had a chariot which never touched the ground because he never spoke a lie. Yeah? And then after that incident, you know, Ashwatthama, the elephant, is dead, and at the elephant they blow the conch shell. Yeah. So he didn't even speak a lie. He spoke, it was sort of a, well, it worked like a lie, so I guess he counted as a lie. And his chariot then from that incident on touched the ground. So it seemed that he got the reaction for speaking the lie, but he actually got the reaction for hesitating to follow the order of Krishna. And he had to see hell. At the end of his life, he saw all his brothers were in hell, and he was thinking, how is this? How is it possible? And they were not in hell, but he had to, it was his hell that he had to go to for a short while to see all his brothers in hell, in some illusory hell. And he had to go there because of his hesitance to follow Krishna's order. That was the reaction, not because of the lie. Yeah. And that makes more sense. And it was Krishna who arranged that for him. You know, oh, you're so attached to Dharma, you're more attached to Dharma than you are attached to me. That is your fault. Because a devotee is very attached to Dharma. But when Krishna's interest is beyond Dharma, then the devotee can drop Dharma in a snap. Prabhupada also is talking about Patam Pusvam Phalantriyam, offering a flower, a fruit, a leaf, some water. He said, yes, we are vegetarian. Because Krishna is accepting like that. He said, but if Krishna says, offer me animals, right, then you will kill all the animals in the universe. Mm-hmm. I think at that point all the animals felt like no longer. Yeah, so the highest morality is Krishna. Yeah. That's the purport of that story. That's how we understand
it. You spoke about commitment.
About government?
Commitment. And I was thinking, how do we understand if someone is an innocent person or he's really a rascal? Because
everybody is a rascal.
Yes, but probably
you're either a devotee or a rascal. Yeah. You are either an innocent rascal or you are an outright corrupt rascal. You know, like many people are innocent rascals. They innocently eat a steak and they are just ignorant, you know, they don't know. They're innocent, they just grew up like that. But they're rascals for taking a birth in such a family. And they are responsible, but less responsible than to the one who's consciously, you know, just like enjoying the whole thing. But all are rascals, different degrees of rascals.
It's amazing how society is created around.
It's a rascal society, yeah.
Around certain rascal behavior, and they create
absolutely
a whole society around.
Yeah. And as I said, you know, rascal mothers are trying to make their children good rascals. And the children were already rascals from last life, so they respond very well. But you can still see some innocence in children, because they naturally take to devotional service very easily. Yeah? Children, they generally like it, you know, devotional service. So some innocence is there. So an innocent rascal can be attracted to devotional service. And you know, like an outright demon is like not much can be done with it. Like, you know, Hiranyakasipu was really beyond preaching. Kamsa also is maybe even a better example, because Vasudev tried to preach to Kamsa. It didn't work. Vasudev preached to Kamsa in so many ways, gave all good arguments and reasons, etc., but it didn't work. It held him back for a moment, but it didn't stop. So in the end, he had to just come up with making a promise. Okay, I'll give you all the children. Okay, then, all right. Because Vasudev always keeps his word. So. And he did. He brought the children. Terrible. He put dharma before saving his own children. We wouldn't do that. Children? No? No children? No.
One question, just to an earlier point in the class where you said we're talking about Haridas Thakur and how he always chanted. Yes, 300 or something else. So, but there are also stories of Haridas Thakur going preaching.
Yeah.
So how did he do it?
Yeah. Amazing, huh? He chanted his rounds. He even chanted his rounds while preaching.
That's how he did it?
Yeah. He was out there just chanting. You know, like in Haridas. Haridas went out as a Sankirtan partner of Nityananda, door to door, and he was chanting all the way. It wasn't that he was just spacing out, now I'm in Sankirtan, yay, don't have to chant. Finally, there a break, you know, he's just walking there, constantly chanting. And then, you know, but he would give lectures. So, you know, like if you chant 300,000 names every day, then you manage to find some time in between to give a few lectures. One can even sleep a little, eat a little, take bath, and do all those things. For us, you know, probably, we would run out, even if we try to chant 300,000 names, we run out of time. And it's like, to chant 64 rounds, it can take the whole day. It can take a lot of time. To chant 128 rounds, to chant 192 rounds, serious mind. Well, yeah, we can do it every day, I guess. So I just started preaching, that's the amazing thing. Far out, and chanting at the same time. And his lips were always moving, his tongue was moving. It's like even when Aryadas was listening and so on, still his tongue was chanting. There were other associates of Lord Chaitanya also, the tongue was always chanting. That comes up in the Chaitanya Bhagavad, this theme of the tongue is always chanting. Not about Haridas, but about another devotee. A lady, actually.